In the middle of Parakeet Aleph, as we spoke about the last 2 weeks, Parakeet Aleph is the longest parak, and it's extremely long, so we're going to be in this parak for a long time. And we're in the middle of talking about the prohibition of geneva, gezela, and of theft, and he's discussing generally how even though when it comes to Nikias, Nikias is about perfecting one's midos in all areas, he's highlighting now some of the sins that people are much less careful of. People are nechshal in much more, a lot of times because they don't think it's necessarily as serious, or because there's a strong taiva, there's a strong desire, we rationalize it, all those components. And he says, Od amru zechron on the bracha, it says in Baba Kama and Kuf Yotet Amud Aleph, Kala gozels chaviro afilu shve pruta. Anyone who steals from his friend, afilu, even the amount of shve pruta, a little bit amount, ki ilu notel nafsho mimenu. It's as if he took his life. Very intense thing. It says, Hare lecha chomer avon hazeh afilu b'shiur muat. That you see such an intense sin, a very severe sin, even when it comes to such a small amount of violation. If you think about, I'm almost positive he doesn't discuss this, but if you think about Shema, so we say, if the love Hashem, v'chol levavcha, v'chol nashcha, v'chol meyodecha. V'chol meyodecha is translated as all your possessions, all your money. And their ideas elaborated on that, about the difficulty of a person to part from their money, and sacrificing one's money for Hashem, the halacha, that you have to be willing to give up all your money to not do an avira. And people are very, very attached to their money. It's a very difficult thing. It comes after b'chol nafshecha. Love Hashem with your heart, your soul, and your money. And Rashi there discusses how some people, money's a greater desire, some people, your life is a greater desire. But we see, obviously, it's clear and we understand that people are very possessive of their money. And here, so someone steals any bit of money from you, it's a tremendous sin. The Amr Odin says, Gemara Tansan Zayinam Beis, Ein Hagasham Netzarim El Avon Gazel. That obviously, in general, rain is the greatest, I'm going to say symbol, but obviously has a physical manifestation as well. It's also a great symbol of wealth. And when it came to the time where they lived in an agricultural society, so you needed the rain. And if there wasn't rain, you'd have no crops. And if you have no crops, you have no food and you have no livelihood. So it was a very, very big calamity if it wasn't raining. And so the Gemara says that the rain stopped, meaning Hashem caused this terrible plague, basically. If it stops rain, if there's no rain, this terrible drought, it stops because of the sin of gezel, because of theft. So you see, this there it is. Kupa malea avonos. Mimikajek barosh kulam gezel. If you have like a basket, a bin filled with all your sins, and it's time for you to go on trial, and based in Chalmala, so what are they going to pick first? What are they going to throw at you first? Gezel, theft. That's the greatest one that they want to throw at you. The dor hamabel lo neftam gezar dinam ella al hagazel. And the dor hamabel, the Gemara Sanhedrin on Kuf Chet, says that the final blow, the final sin that caused the decree on the dor hamabel to be totally wiped out was the sin of theft. And I believe Rashi there on the Parshan is Noach discusses how specifically the smallest amount where you couldn't even be tried in court. Like if someone steals a nickel from you, you're not taking them to court. You're like, get out of here, it took a nickel. So it's the smallest amount where it was so insignificant. But even that sealed their fate. V'im tomar belvavcha, and if you say to yourself, you rationalize, Eich efshar lanish lo lishtadal ma'asenu, maybe you'll say to yourself, how is it possible for us to make to make money in our business dealings, to persuade other people and our fellow men to buy our merchandise. So he says, like, meaning, what are we going to do? We need, not everything has to be, could be so, so just and yashar. You got to give us a little room. Says chilek al yesh b'davar. There's an important distinction here regarding proper behavior and improper behavior. Meaning that it seems like you could almost do nothing. You have to be so upfront with them, and it's almost impossible. So he said, so what's the line? Where do we draw the distinction between someone being an honest businessman and someone not? So he says, ki kol mashehu laharos, es hakonim amitas tuv hachevetz v'yafyo, that whatever is done to show the buyer, to show the purchaser, the true quality of the object and its beauty, kine ha'eshtadlos ha'hu tov yashar. That's good. That's great. So let's say for us, some of us maybe are currently looking for a house, or over the next few years most likely will be looking for a house. And if you have someone, you're going to be shown a house by a real estate agent, and let's say they show you all the amazing features that this house has. So that's great. That's what they're supposed to do. Continues though, ach mashehu lachasos mumei chefzo. But if they want to conceal and try to conceal and hide all the imperfections, all the blemishes, the problems, the issues, eino ela onav asar. That is forbidden, right? So within the real estate analogy, so if there are damaged pipes underneath the house, and or there's a room that has some issues, and they say, ah, oh, you don't need to go into those rooms. All the rooms are the same, right? If they ever try to cover something up or not misinform you about something, then that's asar. Now, it happens to be, within real estate, we're actually so, I guess, people are inherently concerned for this, and the safety in general of one's home, that you have to, even after you sign, you have to do an inspection, and then you have an outside party comes to do the inspection, who tells you all the things that are wrong about the house, that maybe some of it they knew, maybe some of it they didn't know. And he continues, v'zeh haklau, let's see where we are here. I do not see where we are. Does anybody here see where we are? Okay, here we are. Sorry about that. The people listening on the recording are like, what is going on? We do a video as well that's recorded. That's why. Continuing. V'zeh klal gadol v'emunas hamaseh v'matan. And he says, he sums up by saying, this is such an important and main component to just emuna in business. That if you want to have emuna, we spoke earlier about emuna when it comes to business dealings, about Hashem wants someone who's amamin. Hashem cares about emuna. And it's brought up regarding this because if someone tries to cut corners, you're showing a lack of emuna Hashem to provide money for you, provide you with a livelihood. And the Gemara in Shabbos, on, I want to say, Lamed Aleph. I'm trying to see if it says it here in the footnote. It definitely says it here somewhere, but I think it's Lamed Aleph. I'm pretty sure it's Lamed Aleph, where we're told about the questions that we're asked after we pass away. And the first question we're going to be judged over is, were you honest in your business dealings? It's question number one. So continuing. Lo Omer... Lo Omar Me'inyan Hamidos says, I'm not going to be discussing, Ramchal says, I'm not going to discuss having proper measures, proper weights and measures. Meaning, when you have a store, so you had a scale, and the way the scales were back then, in theory, you could weigh it down, you could make it heavier so that it's cheating the customer to make them think they're paying for more than they really are. Getting more than they really are. Sharei b'perush kasa b'hem to'avas Hashem Elokecha kol se'ela. There's an abomination to Hashem. He says, I don't need to speak about this. Like, I'm discussing the components, the areas of business where someone might think are somewhat legitimate, or people just rationalize, or the lower level things that people commit. So I don't need to even discuss this. There's such an abomination to Hashem, as it says in Devarim Kaf Hei Tadzayim. Yomer Zochron Lebracha, it says about Basar Peichad and Beis, Kasha Anshon Shal Midos Me Anshon Shal Arayis V'chulei. That the prohibition, the punishment, sorry, for a person who cheats in their weights is worse than a person who violates an arayos, one of the arayos. The Amran says as well, in Baal Basar Pechemun Aleph, Hasiton Mekanech Midosav Achas L'Shloshim Yom. That if you have someone who's a merchant, a wholesaler, he has to clean, wipe it clean every 30 days. V'chol kach lama, why so frequently? Deshal echasu below das anish. So that he doesn't make a mistake. And he doesn't get punished for it. It's made by accident. Over time, something's going to happen. It's going to be weighed down by something. So you have to make sure every 30 days, right? Like our cars, every X amount of miles, right? Every like 3,000 miles, you're supposed to have an oil change. You don't know what's going on internally. You have to make sure, like clockwork, that things are running smoothly. And over here, even more so, right? For our lives, for our souls, to make sure that things are clean within our businesses. Kol shekein avon haribis. Now, how much even worse is the sin of charging interest? Shegodo hu kekofer beloke yisal chas v'chalila. That charge, a person who charges interest, it's like a person who basically is a kofer, a denier of Hashem, chas v'chalila. It says in Bav Metzia, Ayin Aleph, Amar Aleph. The Amar Zochron Levracha says, Shmos Rabba, Lamed Aleph, Vav, Ala Pasuk, B'neshach Nasam, V'tarbis, Lakach V'chai, Lo Yechia. Cheskel says, like someone who charges interest, Lo Yechia, you're not going to be able to live. You're not going to stay alive. She'ein Ochad, Le'tchia Samisim. Not just not gonna, it's not, you're not going to be alive now, but it's that you're not going to rise from the dead during time of Tchia Samisim. That's how serious the sin of charging interest is. Ki hu ve'avak shalom mishukatz u'metoa be'enei Hashem. Because you're like dust, and you're a disgusting person to Hashem. Ve'eni ro'e tzorach l'harich ba'zeh shekfar imaso mutelas al kol ish yisrael. He says, I don't even need to elaborate more. Because interest is something, and the weights, cheating and weights, is something that people do have yira for. So I have no need to tell you about it, because people are very careful within this. Chaga, you have a question or comment? Okay, I wasn't sure if I definitely heard something, some movement at some point. So he says, those things I don't need to talk to you about. Amnon, klol shel davar. But in any event, the general rule, the sum of the matter is, kemoshe chemdas hamamon rabba, that our desire for money is so great. Right? We have such, we do. I personally feel myself, I told you in secret, that I am like starting a business now. And there definitely is a desire for money. It is totally there. If I had $1 billion, I don't think I would start this business now. But at the same time, like, I understand myself well enough to know that if I make $50,000, I'm not going to be like, you know, that's enough, let me close it. It's not like they say about the Chavetz Chaim, that the Chavetz Chaim owns like a small little, like a makolet, a small little grocery store, and he used to keep it open for only a certain amount of hours a day for him to have enough money for what he needed. So I'm not the Chavetz Chaim. And there's definitely internal greed that I feel, that probably many feel, about like a desire for money, a desire to make more. And always having that dream where we have, like we're told, through Chazal, like you have a money, you want masayim. You have $10,000, you want 20. At $30,000, you want 60, right? We constantly want more. It's a very difficult thing, and obviously a person has to try their best to realize whatever we have is from Hashem, because Hashem gives us everything we need, and to be happy with the chelek that we have. It's a very difficult challenge. So he says, Chemdas hamamun rabba. We have a tremendous desire for money. Kei mechshalosav rabin. And because of that, there's so many stumbling blocks, right? So many things that we try to rationalize, or we bend the system to try to get it the way we want it. Ukadeshi yeh adam naki mehem be'emes. Iyon gadol v'dikduk rab tarachla. And if a person wants to try to be totally pure and totally clean in this area, you need to really, really examine every area of every decision you're making. Because we have to know that sometimes we might be rationalizing something for the desire of money, and we tell ourselves, "Oh, this is totally yasha. This is exactly what the halacha is." Right? I told you I had a shaila about whether I could. I have two shilas. I'm not sure which one I told you. I may have told you both, but like one of them is I have an Instagram account for my business, and there was a shaila I asked of whether I'm allowed to set up a post in advance to go out on Shabbos. So I knew I wanted the answer to be yes. Like Baruch Hashem, meaning it's a lechatchila thing to do, I found out. I was pretty sure and hoping, but there's that. And then another question I have is once I start selling merchandise, if I'm allowed to, or like how to navigate having a sale go through on Shabbos. If someone purchases it on Shabbos, is that allowed? Is it based on the shipping? Those types of things. But sometimes, like, we have to examine and realize where we're coming from. Meaning, I'm coming from the direction of, I want to make money. That's my direction. So it's important, it's good that I know that. It's important that I know, wait, let me pause, let me ask a shayla, because this is not necessarily so pasha. And there might be a way I have to do it in order to make this possible. The im nika mimenu yeda shigia kfar madrega gedola. And he says, if a person is able to accomplish these things, if a person is able to rise above all these potential rationalizations that we could do within the realm of business, and a person's not tempted, I would say not tempted, but a person passed all those tests, he says, you are on a very high madriga. Ki rabim yitchastu banothim rabim me'anfei chasidus. Says, because so many people who behave piously, who behave just and yashar in so many areas regarding chasidus, when it comes to this area of wanting to get money, they can't do it. Meaning, if I were to ask you, like, how yashar are you in the area of shatnez? You'd be like, I'm great. Whenever I buy a suit, or if I buy a new, like, wool coat, I make sure I take it to the shatnez tester right away. That's great, right? It's easy to be nucky. This is also on a side note. This is also maybe tied to Nikias, because Nikias is kind of, it's not going above and beyond, but it's being careful for every detail, as we learned at the beginning of Nikias. So when it comes to shanes, there is even a question, halachically, whether you even have to do that. It could be, it's totally fine to even buy a suit and not even have to get it tested, because of how few suits even have shanes. But let's go even with the assumption that it has to be tested. You get it right away. Yeah, what's the big deal? So there are so many people who are in other areas are a chassid. We're so careful, but when it comes to business dealings, it's a much more difficult thing to rise to the challenge and to excel. Humash Amar Tzofar Hanam Misa the Iyov, that Iyov was told, Im Oven Biyadecha Harchikehu Val Tashkin Ba'olecha Avla, that if a sin comes into your hand, so you should make sure to distance yourself from it. Val Tashkin Ba'olecha Ola, there shouldn't be perversion in your tent. Ki az tisaf anecha mimum vayisa mutak velo tira. And you shouldn't. For then you're gonna lift your face without blemish, and you'll be steadfast and never fear. And if you're able to overcome these things, there's a story that's quoted here. I've heard this, seen this once before, where there was a very frum butcher who had tremendous Yir HaShemayim, who went to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and he told him that he wants to stop being a butcher. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter knew he's the butcher in town. He's very honest. He says, why do you want to stop? What's the problem? And the butcher said to him, he said, I'm so scared of messing up. I'm so scared of not catching a treifa and accidentally selling a treif animal to someone, or accidentally having a nick in the knife and it being a nevela. I can't do this anymore. So Sol Salanter asked him, he said, so what are you going to do? What's your plan? He said, I'm going to go into business. I'll be a simple Jew. I don't have to worry about the stress of these halachos, of nevelas and treifos. So Sol Salanter said to him, he says, you don't realize that if you go into business, you're going to have to worry about so many more potentially Yisurim than you are right now. Like, this is nothing compared to what you have to learn. He said, if you go into business, you have to learn all of Choshen Mishpat. And it certainly gave the butcher even more Yer Shemayim, and the butcher stayed a butcher. But it's certainly it's a very very serious thing. It says, V'hine dibarti ad hina miprate mitvah achas min ha-mitvos. He says, meaning when it comes to, just to sum up a little bit, so when it comes to Nikias, Nikias is being extremely careful and diligent in every aspect of the mitvah. And Nikias in general is to do this for all mitvahs. So he says, we just spoke about one mitvah. That's it. Uprate chalukim, kifrate chalukim, elevada shimtzom b'chol mitvah mitvah. But I could do this, he says, about every mitvah. Every mitvah has tons of details. Amnam eineni maskir ela osam shergilim robinei adam likashal behem. He says, but I'm only going to be discussing now the mitzvos, the los haseis, a few of them that people are much more prone to be nechal on, much more prone to stumble upon. Nidbar ata min harayos shigam heim min hachamudim v'heim shniyim madrega el hagazel. And he says, now I want to speak about the sin, the severe sin of committing of arayos, of illicit relations. And this is second on that intense list of things that people are nechshal over. Kamaran Zachron Lebracha Shal Zacharti Lamaz, I mentioned above in Baba Basha on Kuf Samachayam at Aleph, Ruban Begazel. The Gemara there says many people, majority of people, mess up in the sin of theft, which is why I just discussed that. Umi utam be'arayos. And a minority of people, but certainly a substantial amount of people, but a minority of people mess up in the sin of arayos. And just some words of introduction before we begin this right now. It's important, in general, I try to do this, and I'm sure you do this as well, but whenever it comes to learning about and wanting to improve midos, and whether it's bandam chaver or bandam lemakom, whatever it may be, sometimes we'll learn something where we'll think, this is not applicable to me, but it's important to always try to frame whatever you're learning in this, in these areas, to how is this applicable to me? What can I glean from this that is relevant to me? So at first glance, a person might say, this is not relevant to me. I'm not having an affair, right? That's what arayos are. I'm not sleeping with my sister. Like, that's one of the arayos, right? So that's what someone could say. But it's important to realize the different degrees and levels of arayos and what arayos are. So tonight he's going to go into more detail, but to realize that there, that arayos are something like literally just meaning, let's say you're watching something on YouTube or Netflix or TV, and there's a part where a woman dressed inappropriately, or there's an inappropriate portion of the show, and that internal struggle to look away, to not look away, what you choose to watch, what you not choose to watch, so that's within the framework of arayos, meaning it's not a yarag val yavor, which arayos in general, if someone asks you to sleep with this person or give up your life, you give up your life. So, but it's a remnant of it, it's a component of it on a much lower level, but still certainly something that's very, very serious. So it's important to frame that. Also briefly, from what I've prepared, I have not seen this yet quoted, I don't believe, but there's an idea that Bnei Yisrael, when they heard the mitzvos, so when they heard the sin of arayos, they started crying. And they said, like, we just can't do this. This is too hard. It's too impossible. And in general, the whole realm of arayos, not just, like I said, not just not sleeping with your sister, but the whole realm of arayos is something, I heard from Rabbi Kamenetsky, who's a principal of DRS, that's something that's just so out of whack relative to all the other sins. So if I use the sin of shatnez, or even if I use a more severe one, let's say eating not kosher. So of course, there is somewhat of a desire to eat not kosher. If you watch TV and you see a commercial for Pizza Hut, KFC, Subway, whatever it may be, it looks very tempting. It looks very good. But at the same time, I hope none of us have a desire when we drive by KFC to be like, you know what? I don't think anyone's going to see me in there. I think I could get away with it. Like, we don't have that thought. But when it comes to arouse, right, Kevin has to point out, like, it's just so much more, so much stronger in us that it makes us actually come much closer to violating it or violating it on lower levels. And it's a very, very difficult thing in general, which is why he wants to highlight it here right now. So continuing, V'hine, Mishi yirtze linakos legamri mizechei, someone who wants to completely cleanse themselves of this sin, gam lo titztarach malacha lo muetas, this is not a small task. Ki, and this is way before the internet, way before the stuff, like, he couldn't, nowadays this would be like an extreme understatement, even though he's saying that, don't think it's so small. Like, obviously it's much, much, much stronger than what it ever was. Ki ein b'chlal iser gufo shel maaseh bilvad. He says, because the prohibition of arouse includes not just the act itself, ela kol ha'karvei lav, anything that's a relative to it, anything that's close to it. Umikra malihu, the pasuk in Vayikra Yudchei Vav says, lo tekarvum legalos erva, don't come close to revealing erva. One of the interesting things about this pasuk, I think it's Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, but I'm not positive, who points out that there are a number of isurim in the Torah that we know of the concept of siyag la Torah, right? So a lot of things that are prohibited on Shabbos are prohibited midrabanan as a siyag to protect the d'oraisa. Right, so that's a classic thing within the realm of Shabbos. Right, so let's use cooking on Shabbos for example. So even if you can't cook on an open flame, even if it was on from before Shabbos, because you might come to stoke the coals or lower it or raise it. Right, you're not allowed to do that. So you have to put a blech on and cover it, even if it was on from before Shabbos. Right, so those types of things, that's a siyag. It's to prevent us from actually violating the malacha of igniting or extinguishing on Shabbos. But there are certain things that are in the Torah puts a siyag for another prohibition of the Torah. So for example, when it comes to Pesach, so we know we're not allowed to eat chametz. But there's also a Torah prohibition to have chametz in your house. Why? Because if it's in your house, and since we're so accustomed to eating chametz all year, you might come to eat chametz on Pesach. Right? So that's an example of a siyag of a d'oraisa for another d'oraisa. So over here, Herb pointed out that this is also a siyag of a d'oraisa. The Torah says, don't come close to revealing erva, to protect an even more severe d'oraisa of actually committing one of the arayos. So that just shows how severe the realm of arayos are. The Amr Zichron of Racha says in Shmos Rabba Tedzayim Beis, Amar Karish Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Al Tamar Hoil, the Asur Lilish Tamesh Beisha, don't like rationalize and say to yourself, since I can't sleep with a woman, Hareini Tosa Ve'in Liavon, you know, I'll just hold her hand. There's no problem with that. Hareini Megapapa Ve'in Liavon, I'll give her a hug. What's the big deal in giving a hug? Osha Ani Noshka Ve'in Liavon, or I'll give her a kiss. It's no problem giving her a kiss. I'm not sleeping with her. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kishem She'im Nadar Nazir Shalo Lishtos Yayin, that just as when a Nazir makes a neder not to drink wine, also the Chol Novim Lachem Yevishim U'Mishas Novim Chol Hayotze Migefen Hayayin, that obviously he can't have grapes, he can't have wine, he can't even have grapes, he can't even have raisins, dried out grapes, he can't even have the sediments that come from the grapes when they're squeezed. So he says, Af Isha She'ina Shalcha Asar Liga Ba'Kolikar. So to a woman that's not your wife, you can't touch at all. It's not just don't sleep with her. V'chol Mishin Oge B'Isha She'ina Shalo Mevi Misa La'atma V'chulei. A very intense thing, that anyone who sleeps with, who violates this with a woman that's not his wife, so you cause Misa to yourself. Very, very serious thing. I think we're going to stop here, and he continues with this analogy a little bit more. and